With that, you know, we kind of look at situations like this, and I think it really is the heartbeat of why the message today is so important. It's we're going to be talking about how we should invest in the next generation and how it's so important to invest in the next generation. I look at someone like Kate, and she is has moved from temporary pain and suffering to eternal hope and glory with God. She does have a relationship with Christ. She is with him, and that's awesome. But for us as a church, as individuals, as people, can say, how can we invest in the next generation? I know for me, when I was a senior in high school, I remember thinking I had my whole life planned out in front of me. Kind of had it all figured out. I was going to major in business, and my dad had started some different businesses, so I was going to take over one of those businesses and just help him run that, and I was going to get married right out of college, find somebody to get married right out of college, and then find a great church to be connected with and volunteer and be excited about that. And so I kind of had everything planned where I was going to college and everything. It was just all lining up for me. And I remember sometime in my senior year, we had a guest speaker come to our church, and he, at the end of the service, he asked if anyone wanted to come forward and pray. Now, the church I grew up in, it was a fairly large church, around 800 people or so, but we never really asked people to come forward, so it was a very unique thing. Like here at the Ridge, we try to about once a month have people be able to come forward and pray, and we're actually going to do that tonight. So at the end, you'll have an opportunity to come forward and pray if you'd like. But I remember thinking to myself, I can't even remember why he said to come forward and pray. I just knew. I was sitting there thinking to myself, I have my whole life planned out, but have I really prayed about it? Have I really said, God, is this what you have for me? And so I'm like, I'm just going to go up front and pray. And I went up front, knelt down there, and I looked over, and there was one other lady on the other side of the stage area, and thought to myself, well, he did say come down, didn't he? Because I was like, I'm the only one. I was like, but that's okay, because I knew I was there to pray for my future and what God had planned for me. So I stopped and I just prayed. I was like, God, whatever it is, I know I have the life planned out, and oftentimes I know you're burning my heart to go this direction. This is what I've got. But if for any reason you have anything else in my life you want me to do, you show me and I will follow. I'll do whatever you have. Shortly thereafter, there were several different things that took place in my life where I started just kind of changing my heart a little bit. We got a new youth director in. And in fact, it was just kind of an awesome time. And he was a guy that I just really connected with. And so because I was looking to find some answers on my purpose and future, I started asking a lot of people. And so I went to him and I said, so why did you want to get into youth ministry and work with students? He said, Kevin, well, actually, I majored in business. I had a job offer for twice as much money. But you know what? I knew I wouldn't be happy unless I was doing what God wanted me to do. And God had really been burdening my heart to work with students because it's so important that students come to faith and know Christ and experience him. And he told me the story about the late evangelist, D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, one night after a meeting, someone approached him and said, so how did the meeting go tonight? And D.L. Moody responded and said, well, had 2.5 conversions. And the person said, oh, 2 adults and 1 child. He said, no, 2 children and 1 adult. He's like, what? It's like, yeah, the adult only has half their life yet to live. The kids have the rest of their life. And this really stuck with me as he was talking to me about this. And he said, that's why it's so important that we reach the next generation, is that kids and students, they have the rest of their life to make a huge impact in our world and our society and places around for Christ. It's not that we as adults need Christ too, but there's something about someone who has their whole life yet to live can live for Christ and the impact that can have. And I think as I began thinking about that, God started really working on me, and he used this and several other things to reshape and redirect me. And as I went to college, I changed my majors into youth ministry and got into working in churches and really sensed that God was wanting me to had a passion and building a passion for students, next generation, to know Christ. And see, that's the real that's the real focus of the heart of where we're going tonight. And the idea comes from Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, and it says this. It says, now to him who's able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. is our series in week two. The series is on beyond. It's understanding and knowing that God wants to go beyond what we can imagine. He wants to work in and through our lives in ways that we can't even barely comprehend. But this is the idea, is that this is to all generations forever and ever. It's generation after generation. God desires to do something big and something amazing. And he wants us to experience that. Last week, in the first week of the series, Tim talked about how beyond is an eternal investment for more people to come to know Jesus. And that's the heart of the Ridge. It's the heart of our church, is that we want people to know and experience God, that we understand that knowing Christ can change your life forever. And a relationship with Jesus is so important. He shared our vision for Chestnut Ridge Church, and it's this. It says, we want to be an inviting church for those who are turning to God. And the idea here is the word inviting actually has a double meaning. That we want to be people who are inviting people to a relationship with Jesus out in our work and our community and building relationships with people and inviting them to know and experience God, but also inviting them to church here, to hear what it is that they can learn and know about him. But also, we want to be an inviting church, one that's welcoming. When you walk in the doors, it's very inviting to be a part of. We want to be welcoming to people who are turning to God. Maybe you're in here tonight and you haven't got it all figured out yet, and you're asking questions and you're trying to see what this is all about. We want to welcome you to say, be a part of that. We'll walk through that process of learning, experiencing, and knowing who God is and what the Bible says about that. But it's so important that we stay focused on what we're all about as a church. And as we do that, we want to look beyond what God can do more than we can imagine. This week, we're going to look at how we can make an investment in the next generation. We want to go beyond. In fact, beyond is a generational investment as we focus on the next generation. It's a generational investment. Last week, if you were here, you received a brochure that talked about beyond and the different ways we want to go beyond and the vision of the church. If you were not able to get one, if you weren't here last week, we do have some of those available at our information kiosk in the lobby. After the service, go there, and we'll be glad to give you a copy of that. But simply put, we want to invest in our next generation, because to invest in our next generation is to invest in our future. The future of everything that we want to see God work and do in our lives will be even better if we invest in the life of students, because they have so much time and the capabilities that they can do so many things. It starts today and it starts now. What if we decide as a generation of people to invest in the next generation? How would that change the future of our world, our church, our culture? If we invested in the next generation and helped them to see and know and experience who God is. You see, the problem is that the facts are actually really scary when it comes to where the next generation is headed. I read that there are between 9 and 11% of teenagers attending church today. And even more than that, I've seen the statistics that say over 70% of all students who are active in church when they're in high school, when they leave home, they no longer attend. Those numbers are so staggering and they're scary. In fact, people are exiting the church in record levels. Here at the Ridge, we are really concerned about these statistics. We want to see those numbers change. We want to see God continue to work mightily in the lives of other people and in the next generation. But you know, we look around and it feels like we're losing the battle, doesn't it? We want to be a church that's effective at reaching the next generation. We want to do that. Now, some of you know, if you're kind of hanging around here for a little while, we're kind of in the midst of some transitions going on in our family ministry. We have two student ministry positions we're trying to fill and a college ministry position we're trying to fill. And so as far as our staff goes in our church, we really want to encourage you to be praying for us as we're looking for people to come in and make a difference. But I tell you what, it's not just the staff that makes a difference. In fact, it's the volunteers, the people who are serving. Those are the people that truly make a big, big difference. You know, for me, when I was in high school, from my 7th grade until my senior year, I had 5 different youth directors, 5. I went through transition after transition after transition. God used those transitions in me to help me depend upon God and make a difference and know him. He used that as a way to encourage me to focus on him and depend upon him rather than a person. But you know what's really cool about that season of time? I had the same small group leaders. People that poured into me week after week after week. That's a pretty cool thought. Those people stayed with me. In fact, I still talk to them today and have a connection with them years later because of the influence they had in my life. So be praying for that and seeing what God can do. But the idea is that we really truly want students to be able to come here to find relationships and to connect with people. People that want to help them take their next best step towards God. But if we're not careful, we can lose a generation. We can lose a generation of people. With so much hurt, pain, and hate in the world right now, we can't afford to have that. You see, we can't afford to lose a generation at this time where we're at. But this actually happened in the Old Testament, the book of Judges. A generation was actually lost. The Old Testament book of Judges starts off when the people of Israel took possession of the promised land that God had been working through so long and through as they came out of Egypt and through Moses and all of the stuff. They spent 40 years in the wilderness, and then along comes Joshua, and God helps walk them into the promised land, and they see the fruit of all this work and what God had promised. But we see in chapter 2, starting in verse 6, it talks about this. It says, Joshua sent the people away, and the Israelites went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people worshiped the Lord throughout Joshua's lifetime, and during the lifetimes of the elders who outlived Joshua, they had seen all the Lord's great works he had done for Israel. The people of this generation knew God, what he had done. They'd walked through that and they'd seen all the cool things that God had been a part of their life and walked them through this generation. And now they see the fruit of it. They're in the promised land. They're going and they get the inheritance that God said, if you walk with me, you'll have this. They firsthand saw how God guided them. However, sometime in the after they'd gotten there, it wasn't much longer, Joshua had died. We see in verse 8, it says, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. Now that's pretty good. I wouldn't mind getting 110, that'd be awesome. But they buried him in the territory of his inheritance. And so when he died, all of a sudden you started saying the memory and the works of God were remembered for a while. And they happened for a while, but then something happened, as we see in verse 10 here. It says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation came up after this, and it grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. A generation forgot. They weren't told. For whatever reason, something happened, and they stopped talking about all that God had done. Maybe they just kind of sat in the goodness and the complacency of having life as finally good, and they missed out, and so they stopped looking to God, and a whole generation was lost in this process. Tim Keller, who is an author and a pastor, he had this to say about Israel's half-hearted obedience. It said this, it is always impossible to lay blame neatly when one generation fails to pass its faith on to the next one. Did the first generation fail to reach out, or did the second generation just harden the hearts? The answer is usually both. Mistakes made by a Christian generation are often magnified in the next nominal one. Commitment is replaced by complacency and then by compromise. I don't know where to put the blame, except on this. They stopped talking about it. Maybe they stopped talking because they thought no one was listening or no one cared. For whatever reason, they stopped and a generation was lost. We can't do this. We can't forget. We can't allow the generations that's coming up here and now to not know what God has and wants to do in the lives of us, of all of us. Psalm 78, they talk about this. They said, my people, hear my instruction. Listen to what I say. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known and that our fathers have passed down to us. We must not hide them from their children, but must tell a future generation the praises of the Lord, his might, and the wonderful works he has performed. He established a testimony in Jacob and set up a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, so that a future generation, children yet to be born, might know. They understood the absolute importance of the generation that has gone through, experienced God, knows God, to tell the next generation. And it goes down. We should always look to the generation coming right before us. And how are they knowing Christ? How are they growing in Christ? How are they experiencing God? How are they living in a way that honors God? You know, when we look at the next generation, you start looking at college students. If you're a college student, look at can you impact the generation coming after you? If you're in high school, how can you impact the next generation coming after you? In middle school and kids, and you go down the list and we keep thinking, how are we impacting the people that are coming next? You see, the investment in our next generation is a great investment in our future and their future. If you're here today and you're a student, God has dreams for you to do some mighty and big things in your life. He desires to do some really cool things. And I think like never before, you're set up in a position for God to do some really cool stuff. Maybe you're a parent or a grandparent, and for you, it's are you able to pour into the life of your child or your grandchild and help them know and experience what God has done in your life and begin to show that? Or maybe you're in here today and you're thinking, I don't have kids. I don't know what my role is. I don't know what I'm gonna do. But for you, you still have a part to play. There's a lot you can still do. And connecting and building relationships with students and kids and helping them to know God and the way that you live your life. There are a lot of things we can invest in and give your life in, but to tell you what, I've never, ever, ever regretted investing in the next generation. It's always worth it. I love to be able to say to this next generation that I'm willing to lay down my stuff, my comfort, my time, my resources, my life, lay that down and spend time with you because you are so important. What God is gonna be able to do is beyond what we can imagine in your life to change and shape this world that we live in. You're at a time when we need things more than ever before, and you can make a difference. This is what my heart breaks for generations of people to have their lives changed because of Jesus. However, this generation really is unlike any other generation I think we've ever had. In fact, there's some big differences in how we communicate, isn't there? Just ask, if you're a student here, do you think like your parents? Do you live the same way your parents did? Or if you're a parent and your kids, they're in a totally different world than you. And a big part of that is the technology. But people don't think like we did 10 or 20 years ago. It's not wrong, it's just very, very different. In fact, back in the day, a tweet was something a bird said. Now, what is it? It shows up in your social media feeds. Spam was canned ham, and it was delicious. Wait, no, maybe not that great. But now, spam is unwanted email. It has nothing to do with canned meat that's delicious to eat. And roaming certainly wasn't something your phone did. Nope, there was a very long cord attached to your phone. It wasn't going anywhere, and you couldn't take it anywhere. Roaming, well, that was for the buffalo and the plains. And the idea of these abbreviations and texting and all these things that's happening, all these abbreviations and stuff, I can't keep up with them. Sometimes I start typing random letters to see if I say things. Hey, what about this? It doesn't work like, you know, I don't know all of them. It's funny, there was a mom who texted a son and she had this to say. She's mom texted and said, what do IDKLY and TTYL mean? And the son said, I don't know, love you, and talk to you later. And the mom said, okay, I'll ask your sisters. We just don't know sometimes. There's just a gap in the way we think and communicate. But even more than this, we hold in our hands a device. And for us, when you were growing up, oftentimes a long time ago, when the word phone, that was used to call someone, and that's all it was. Now you hold a phone in your hand and it's everything. It's everything. It's every way that you communicate with anybody. You can communicate with tens and hundreds and thousands of people. You have a voice into the world that's unlike ever before. And it's so amazing. In fact, it's so funny because we can ask Siri and Google anything we want and they'll tell us the answers. We no longer need Encyclopedia Britannica. We've got Wikipedia. We don't need those. In fact, I think we created a culture today And I have to wonder, do we even feel like we need to listen or learn? Because if I want to know something, I'll just ask Siri. I'll just ask Google. If I really want to know something. I wonder if we have a generation that feels like we want to just check out because why do I need to? And we miss out. But this is the battle that we're facing, because the reality of it is that it's not wrong that communication is this way. It's a reality of it. There's some great things that we can communicate widespread in ways that never before, but there's also some hard things. We have so many ways to communicate with people, and the problem is not everybody's on the same page. Not everybody checks email. Not everybody's on Facebook. Not everybody uses Twitter, not Instagram. Not everybody just gets on the web. Not everybody does those things. You do some of those things, but not everybody does all of them. And so how do we truly communicate with people well? It's difficult. It's hard. And because of these differences, we need to find creative ways to help this next generation understand and know who God is, to where they'll feel like they can listen and want to be heard and can care for it and know. See, when I first started my job as a student pastor in North Carolina about 10 years ago, I remember I started off, and anytime there's a transition and you bring somebody new in, typically the older high school students want to say, nope, I'm not going to listen to you. It's kind of normal. As I went through seasons going through this when I was in high school, I saw that happen on a regular basis. But I came in and I remember there's one kid, he sat on the very front row. And he sat with his arms crossed and his legs crossed, and he scowled at me the whole time. Every second that I was standing in front of him trying to teach or do anything, he sat in the same pose like this. I'm like, okay, he's had a bad day. Then I realized the next week, the same thing happened again. I'm like, okay, he's had a bad week. And I realized again, it's happening. I'm trying afterwards, going up to him, talking to him, and he won't have nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me at all. And after a few weeks of this, I called my mentor and actually the youth director that I was telling you about, the youth pastor that in my church in high school, I called him. He was still in student ministry. I said, hey, I've got this kid and he's sitting in the front row and he's scowling at me. And I said, I've been trying so hard to reach him. In fact, I've been teaching at him, and when I've been talking to him, I'm trying to make sure the messages to kind of word them in a way that helps him know he's not helping himself, he's not helping others. It's hurting the youth, the group, it's hurting the church, it's dividing God's kingdom. I've been trying to let him know this and teaching to him. And I said, guess what? It makes him more angry. And I said, by the way, that doesn't work well. No one likes to be taught at. And that's what he said. He said, don't teach. I said, what do I do? He said, don't teach to him. Don't teach at him. He said, Kevin, he said, just teach the people that want to hear the message that you're teaching. He said, but do this, love him and pray for him. And so I said, okay. And I took the pressure off of me trying to fix his hardened heart. It wasn't my job to fix that. And I started just loving him. And when I'd see him, I'd smile at him, and I just kept smiling at him. A few weeks later, we went on a high school retreat, a fall weekend retreat, which actually we've got one coming up here in our church. And if you're in high school, a high school student, love to get them signed up. It's first weekend in November. It'd be a fantastic thing to do, fall wired weekend. But we went on this high school retreat, and we went there, and he went along. I don't know why he kept coming. He was miserable, but he kept coming every week, and he went to this thing. And so I went there, and I just thought, I'm just going to love this guy. So I started hanging out with him. Started laughing with him and trying to joke with him, and I am king of corny jokes. That was me, so I did that. And on the second day, he came up to me, and he put his arm around me. He said, Kevin, you're a really funny guy. I said, well, thank you. I'm glad you think so. He said, I had no idea you were such a fun guy to hang around. I'm like, well, thank you. You're fun too. A couple years later, I go back to see my youth pastor when I was in high school, and he was now working at a camp, and we took a group of high schoolers to camp. And I went up to him and I said, hey, do you remember 2 years ago when I had this student that was in front row and he was scowling at me and all this stuff like that? He said, oh yeah, I remember, we had a long conversation about it. I said, how's he doing? I said, well, put my arm around this guy. I said, he's right here. I said, he's a college student now, and he is the best college leader I've ever had in any of my years of ministry. And he just grinned and smiled and said, yeah. And I realized I need to invest in the next generation and help them know God by loving them. Not feeding them a bunch of rules and making sure they know how to behave, because when I tried that, it fails miserably. But you know what? When I loved him, he listened to every word I had to say after that. He listened to what God was doing in his life. He turned to God, and the hard heart began to break and fall apart. Over the years, there's been several people like that in ministry that I've been able to work with. Some kids were on the fringe, about ready to walk out of church. And I just stopped them and say, no, hey, let me spend time with you and let me love you. Now, at the end of those times, they became leaders, and I invested in them, and they became leaders in the student ministry that I was involved with. And I remember going back to them one time. I was sitting around with about three guys, and I'm like, so I see where you came today. How did that happen? How did you go from someone about ready to fall out of church and be done with it to someone who is now a leader in our student ministry? And they all looked at me and said, Kevin, it's because you're fabulous teaching. No, they didn't say that. I thought, I was hoping they would say that. Kevin, you're such a great teacher. No, not one of them said that, actually. But what they did say was, you cared for us and you loved us. And there were people here that cared for us and loved us. And that's what it's about. I learned what I need to do is build a relationship with students and people. This is what we need our next generation to know, that we want to invest in their lives to help them know and experience God. They need to know that God loves them and we do too. They don't need a bunch of rules just telling them what to do. That's not what it's about. They may need some strongly suggested guidelines, but that's another story. But no, you know, they don't need it to just be rules. The idea is they need a relationship with Christ, like we all do. We need to help people see that a relationship with Jesus isn't just about following the Ten Commandments. It's about knowing that Jesus is the Son of God, came to earth, lived a perfect life. And because I have a problem with sin, because I do things that dishonor God, I'm in desperate need of restoration with my God. And Jesus lived a perfect life, did not deserve death on a cross, but God gave him to us. So Jesus died on the cross, and so my faith in Christ alone is what restores me to God. I can't fix it. I can experience his love, and I can love others and help them know that too. And so we want to go beyond in how we're gonna do this for our next generation. In fact, here you see that we want to go beyond by building an even greater investment in the next generation of children and students, by providing for them an opportunity for the church to purposely engage with them, by inviting their friends, by making a difference in their lives. This is about relationships. This is what Beyond is all about. This is what this message is all about. This is what this series is about, how we as a church can lead people to know Christ and the vision for where we're headed. And so here's some of the things we really want to do, is we want to impact the next generation through a lot of different things here. And we know that we want to do some things around the building that will be enhancements. We want to create spaces in our children and youth areas that are even better than before. We need some more classroom space for our kids area because some of those classrooms are just wall-to-wall kids. We want to have to possibly change the gym over to make it more of a large group meeting space for our middle school, our high school, our college students. They can meet in. It's a great space for them to connect. We'd like to build a cafe or a coffee house or something where students and people can come hang out during the week and make connections and build relationships with people. We love to take the field out front that we've purchased. I guess you saw as you drove in how they cut it all down. It looks so much better, doesn't it? I'd love to take that, maybe make fields or open it up for sports or find a way to bridge with the community about how we can connect with kids and students in our area and build those relationships. We want to become a generous church in reaching our next generation. As we talked about in the video, that we would like to raise $3 million over 3 years above and beyond our normal giving. And we want to give $1.4 million of that to invest in our next generation. Because we believe the next generation is so important. We believe the next generation has the capability to do some incredibly big things. More beyond what we can imagine as God is working in and through each in their lives. But you know what? This takes a lot of time. It takes money, it takes resources, it takes an investment in a church to say we care about the next generation. And so we think about there are some parts and some things that we can do. And I think one of the first thing that we can really understand is that all this starts at home. Our part, it starts at home. And as we think about this idea is that parents and grandparents and people, you have the opportunity, you have the most amount of time to invest in your kids' lives. But along with that, we as a church want to resource, equip, and come alongside of parents to help kids know and experience God like they never have before. We want to help resource them. One of my favorite verses is Deuteronomy 6:5-9. It says this. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. We can't let this generation forget about God. As parents, we need other people to help us, don't we? We can't do this all alone. I don't think God created us to do it all alone. It's so important for us to connect our kids with other students and other kids, as well as other adults who want to help them take their next best step towards God. And we believe this can be done by the second part here, and that is this. We want everyone to begin to think about how you can make a difference by serving. Make a difference in the life of someone else. We believe in connecting our kids and our students into small groups. We believe small groups is when the relationships begin to form, when significant godly people in their lives pour into them. Lives begin to be changed. Remember earlier I told you through all that transition I went through in high school? Remember who stayed with me the whole time? It was Charlie and Janet Long. They loved me. The good days and the bad. When I was falling out of the chair and my classes and being goofy, they stayed with me and they loved me. And I'll never forget that. They were the ones who poured spiritually in my life alongside with my family. They made a big difference. And I want to encourage you to do that as well. Pray about the opportunity you can have, whether it's a grandparent saying, like my mom does in her church in Atlanta, as a hold babies on Sunday mornings because she loves to do that, or whether it's working with young kids or elementary age or middle school or high school or pouring into college students. Maybe you're a college student and we want to encourage you to pour into the next generation as well. You can do that. In fact, next Sunday, if you were here, Adam talked about how there's going to be a family ministry volunteer orientation at 9 and 11 o'clock, meet in the hub, and they're going to walk you through the different areas of the family ministry where you can see how you may begin to take a part. There's no obligation. You're not required to sign up and have to serve. It gives you a chance and opportunity to see that. We love it if you would register just because it gives an idea of how many people will show up. But if you forget to register next Sunday, I encourage you to come there and be a part of that. Meet at the hub, and they'll talk to you about how you can, too, make a difference. Another thing that we can do is we want to be generous for the next generation. Generosity comes in many forms. It comes through our time, talent, our money. We need to ask ourselves, how, God, are you using my time, my passions, my resources, my life to impact this next generation? We want to empower our next generation. Maybe you're a parent or grandparent or leaders or people who live and work in the community, whoever you are, well, you can be a part of this investment. We can go on beyond and impact not only the only generation that's here today, but even generations to come by the time that we invest in now. It affects our future. And if you're sitting here today and think, well, I can't do anything. In fact, I don't know. I can't relate to kids or teenagers. Well, I think this last thing I know that we all can do, I think is one of the most important things we could possibly do, and it's cover the next generation with prayer. We need to be praying for our next generation. You don't need to know how to raise a teenager to pray for a teenager. You don't need to be savvy on your technology in order to pray for kids. You don't need to have special skills or talents. You can be in your home, you can be in your car, you can be walking through your streets and down your neighborhood and around town or in wherever you are, you could be praying for God to shape this next generation to be men and women who are standing up, making a difference and loving people in a world of hate. We have a world of hate right now. We need to love in the face of the hate. In just a moment, I'm gonna be closing and we're gonna open up an opportunity for you to come forward and pray. Now, the great thing about this is, just like when I was a teenager and I went forward and prayed, you can come pray for any reason at all, whatever God has. In fact, I don't even remember what they said or why to come forward. I just knew that God had laid in my heart to pray for my future. And because of that, he opened the door for me to shift and change the direction of my life. And I'm thankful he did. Maybe you come forward and you want to pray for the Kauf family and what they're going through and the loss of their daughter. Maybe you want to pray for the church and the transitions as we're looking to hire people to help us navigate through helping our family ministry being even more fruitful than ever before. Or maybe you want to pray for our church as a whole and how we make decisions on investing in the next generation to help us do that more effectively than we've ever imagined. And we can go beyond. Whatever it is, feel free to come forward and take a moment and pray. And knowing that we cannot forget, the idea here is that for us to invest in our next generation is to invest in our future and the futures to come and the generations to come. Let's pray. And after I'm done praying, you'll be dismissed. But if you'd like to come forward and pray, we'd love to have you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I just thank you so much for your truth and your love. God, I thank you for this next generation, that this generation coming before us may be the most capable generation that's ever walked through. The opportunities they have to use the technology and resources to reach people and to make a difference is just absolutely amazing. God, I pray that you would use this church to be a church that would reach students, kids, families for you. God, we know we don't want to be a generation who sees the next generation lost. God, use us, encourage us. Help us begin to see are there areas that maybe we can improve in our own personal lives and knowing you, working with our families, or possibly even making a difference in serving and how we can be generous with our time, our resources, and our lives. Thank you, God, for your grace and your truth. We love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.